You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Season that's largely gone according to the form Houston has been in on defense, perhaps it's only fitting that the Rockets got the Game 5 win and series clincher over the Utah Jazz in Wednesday night's Game 5 at Toyota Center by virtue of locking them up and not because James Harden or Chris Paul had a dynamic scoring night. With that, welcome in to our post-game recap, our series-ending recap here at Locked On Rockets. Your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Wednesday evening, as mentioned, the Rockets are victorious in Game 5 at Toyota Center, 100-93. That gives the Rockets the Round 1 series win, 4-1, and now they move on to the Western Conference semifinals, where they're likely going to be playing the Golden State Warriors. As I'm recording the podcast, immediately after the game, the Warriors and Clippers are playing in Game 5, but the odds of the Clippers beating the Warriors 3 straight times, 2 in Oracle, the Clippers, the 8th seed who limped into the playoffs, let's be real, that's not going to happen. It's going to be Rockets-Warriors, and as long as the Warriors don't get taken to 7, Game 1 will be Sunday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. Houston time, 12:30 p.m., out at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California, where the game will be played. So by virtue of the Rockets taking care of business in their Game 5, they will get 3 full days off before resuming play as early as Sunday. I know it could be later than that, but again, that would require the Clippers taking the Warriors to 7, and I find that highly, highly unlikely, regardless of what happens tonight. And again, the odds are, by the time you're listening to the podcast, I strongly suspect that the Warriors have probably advanced. I would love to be wrong on that. Anyway, as far as what we learned from Houston's win against Utah, it was one largely based on perseverance. And so as we move our way through our 3 points recap, we'll talk about some of the individual stars. We'll also talk about what we learned from the series as a whole. Here off the top, though, look, James Harden had 26 points, but what was most impactful, his 4 blocks, his 3 steals, including a steal in the final minute of the game when the Jazz had the ball down only 3. He got a clean strip of Rudy Gobert, got fouled, made both free throws on the other end, and Harden, he had 26 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. What's most telling about it? Well, first off, he started 1 of 11 and was largely getting mocked on Twitter, the broadcast, so many questions, because of course, Harden's 29 years old, he hasn't won a ring, and I've been through before, a lot of it has to do with the competition. The Warriors are the greatest team ever assembled, at least from a talent perspective. A lot of people don't want to hear that, and you start in a closeout game, 1 of 11, yeah, you're going to hear some boo birds, some complaints, whether it's deserved or not. Harden fought through it, and he ended up making 9 of his final 15 shots. But to me, the real story was even when he struggled early in the game, he didn't let it take a toll on him defensively. And really, that effort up and down the roster is what won out. Houston limited Utah to just 93 points, 42 in the first half. Combined, they had 12 steals, 12 blocks. PJ Tucker was an animal. 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. From the get-go, he was the best player on the floor, plus 18. His overall effort, played 40 minutes. He was flying everywhere. Clint Capella, after Game 4, we learned that he's been dealing with a respiratory illness that's a lot worse than we initially thought. He powered through, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 of 7 from the field, 36 big minutes. Considering how limited he has been, I can't imagine how difficult that is. He got it done. Chris Paul, 15 points, 8 boards, 3 steals. He started sluggish from the field, got it up to 6 of 16 because he got going for a stretch in the fourth quarter. The Rockets, they kind of limped at times on the offensive end of the floor, but give the Jazz credit. They have been a top 2 defense in the league for 2 years running. Eric Gordon did make 4 of his 8 threes, so as far as offensive highlights, I think you start there. Also, Daniel House Jr. finally got going off the bench, made both of his 3s, had 7 points. Between House, Fareed, Nene, who did get a few minutes after Fareed was largely a defensive liability in the first half, Austin Rivers and Gerald Green, the bench, while not dynamic, they had 20 points tonight, which is a big step up from 5 in Game 4. But really, the story for the Rockets was that even though Harden started 1 of 11, Chris Paul was below 50% from the field, and at times it was ugly. First off, give credit to the Jazz. They're a really good defensive team. And secondly, the Rockets made up for their offensive struggles by having to buckle down on the other end, and that's what they did. In the first half, when they were really bad offensively, mentioned Harden 1 of 11, they held the Jazz to 42. That's how they stuck within striking distance until finally they got on a bit of a run late in the first half, early in the second, a 21-1 spurt at one point. It's not that there were no offensive highlights, but generally it was an ugly game. Salute to Quinn Snyder, Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors. That's a really good, deep, and well-coached team, and the Rockets persevered just as they did a year ago. The Round 2 series in 2018 ended in 5 games. This one ends in 5 games as well. And the real story to me was just how the Rockets fought through it defensively. There have been times, you think back with James Harden in particular, to the Spurs series 2 years ago, where yes, his slumps, his struggles on one end of the floor have taken a toll on his overall commitment. That did not happen tonight, and I thought that was especially on full display in the final minute of the game when his steal basically iced the ball game. His steal and then subsequent foul, which he went to the free throw line, made both, and the Rockets were up 5 with just over 30 seconds to go. The Rockets were dynamic on defense. Eric Gordon played 40 minutes, largely tracking Donovan Mitchell. Donovan, one of the more quality young players in the league, but shot just 4 of 22. For Eric to make 50% of his threes and then chase Donovan Mitchell around and body him the way he did, really all series long. We saw in the second half, actually, when Quinn Snyder pulled Mitchell early in the second half because he missed a rotation. He was a little frustrated. And that's when Mike D'Antoni took Eric Gordon out of the game because Gordon's defense on Mitchell has been that indispensable throughout the series. So on top of his usual three-point shooting, Eric Gordon in this game had to be relied on defensively a lot. Now, he did have a couple of unfortunate turnovers. The Rockets, as a team, had 17 of those. Some of that, give credit to the Jazz, a really good defensive team. Some of it, of course, the Rockets need to have a tighter handle on the ball as they look forward to the Warriors. But generally tonight, the story, Harden eventually got going. Really, the threes, unlike Game 4, when he made 50% of those and had 30 points, never really got going tonight, 3 of 12. But what's really rewarding is that he made 50% of his shots inside the arc, 7 of 14. The floater game in the second half especially finally got going. So they made enough shots when they had to. But the thing I keep going back to, Clamp City. That was the term that Eric Gordon used after the first couple of games, referring to the Rockets' dynamic defensively and, of course, how he was approaching his personal assignment on Donovan Mitchell. And the Rockets, with the series on the line, they largely delivered on that end of the floor. And as I said off the top, in a season that's largely gone according to how they have played defensively, when they started 11-14 and really all the way until the All-Star break when they were underwhelming, below expectations, it was because they had gone from being a top 10 defense a year ago to being a bottom 10 this year. Well, when they've been 20-5 after the All-Star break and now 4-1 in the playoffs through 5 games against a very good 50-win team in the Utah Jazz in the West, it's because they went from being a bottom 5, bottom 10 defense to suddenly a top 5 defense. And that continued in the playoffs, and they were able to close out Game 5, even when the offense was spotty and uneven, because up and down the roster, of course, Clint Capella, PJ Tucker, Chris Paul, the mainstays. Tucker had 9 boards, 4 blocks. Clint Capella battling through illness. So much toughness there. 10 boards, 3 blocks. Chris Paul had his 3 steals. Those guys did their job. Eric Gordon and Donovan Mitchell, probably his best two-way performance in the playoffs as a Rocket, I would say, of Eric Gordon this entire series. But even Harden as well, as shown by the final minute. This was a key game, a team win up and down the roster. And this was so important because had the Rockets lost this game, boy, I don't care that it was 3-0. It would have been 3-2 going back to Utah for a Game 6 Friday night in the gym where the Jazz feed off that crowd. And even if the Rockets had won that game and avoided it being pushed to elimination in Game 7, you would have had to turn around and then fly to Oakland to play barely over a day later, Sunday afternoon, and you would have been compromised for the next series. And we know that this series has been physically exhausting the way the Jazz play. They're very tough. And beyond that, look, Clint Capella's been dealing for the last 8 to 10 days, he said before the game, with a pretty bad virus. So the Rockets, and also respiratory illness infection. So the Rockets clearly need this time off, and being able to close out this series in Game 5, it is absolutely massive considering what looms next, which is most likely the showdown with the Golden State Warriors, probably the most talented team ever assembled in NBA history. So above and beyond all the individual stat lines, to me, the fact that the Rockets willed their way, it shows you how far they've come. The Rockets would not have won a game like this in November, December, perhaps not even January. Aside from the injuries, I just don't think they had that gear in them. It was James Harden being Superman if they were going to win. Now the Rockets, and let's give Harden some credit as well. He was plus 19, led the way in the plus minus, and of course that reflects four blocks, three steals on top of leading the team in scoring. It is a balanced effort on both ends of the floor. So to me, what we take out of this is that the Rockets have a lot of mental toughness on top of just general physical traits, being good at defense. They're mentally tough because they didn't get rattled. They were down as much as seven in the first half. They did trail in the second half at one point, and it could have gotten away from them. It never did. They fought through it. Shout out to Mike D'Antoni, Jeff Pacelic, the coaching staff, but also the leadership of the team. James Harden, Chris Paul, they didn't fold. They kept fighting, and ultimately they were rewarded. And I'm sure some will say, aren't they going to have to play better than this and have James Harden and Chris Paul shoot better than 10 of 26 for the game in Harden's case and 6 of 16 for Chris Paul? Won't they need more than that against the Warriors? Yes, but everything in the playoffs is about matchups. For starters, you're going to get more rested before the next round. You're also going to have, as far as Harden is concerned, not having Rudy Gobert out there. No disrespect to Andrew Bogut or Kevon Looney, but when James Harden sees those two in the middle instead of Rudy Gobert, it's going to feel like the seas parting. Gobert is tough. Salute to him. And throughout this series, just as a year ago, he got better. So I really don't think there's much carryover. And if there is, there's some rest for everybody to clear their heads and get on track physically. But for those that are concerned, I point to the way the Rockets-Jazz series ended in Game 5 a year ago. And that one, Harden had just 18 points, 7 of 22 from the field, just 4 rebounds, 4 assists, only 2 steals and no blocks. So nowhere near as good as he was tonight. And a year ago in Game 5 against the Jazz, it took Chris Paul going for 40-10 to finally kill the Jazz. So pesky, so determined. And then what happened in Game 1 against the Warriors a few days later? Harden went for 41 points on nearly 60% shooting. Now, Houston did lose that game one. It certainly wasn't because of Harden. He was brilliant. The Rockets lost that game one, combination of defense, and also the role players missed a few too many open shots. And then, really, as far as the Rockets-Warriors series, they came off that series against the Jazz, who ground them to a halt in Game 4 and Game 5, and the Rockets won 3 of the first 5 games against the Warriors and appeared poised to knock them out before Chris Paul's hamstring went out at the worst time. So we saw this a year ago. There's not much carryover. The Warriors, they're a very good team, but they're a different dynamic than the Jazz. Utah is a better defensive team. Give them credit. They are a top 2 defense 2 years running. So no, I don't think that there's going to be that much carryover in terms of stylistically what happened late in this series, especially Game 5, as far as what's going to happen on the floor in Game 1 and Game 2 next week at Oracle Arena, in all likelihood. It is apples and oranges. One team is completely different than the other. The playoffs are all about matchups. In this case, the Rockets, they took quite a punch from the Jazz. Well-coached, well-disciplined, even down 3-0, they wouldn't fold. Salute to the Rockets for having the toughness to advance. And tonight, again, there are 100-93 winners. They win the series 4-1, and at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. More momentarily as we continue our way through our usual 3 points recap. But for now, I do want to remind you guys that in order to get this show every day, subscribe to Locked On Rockets on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with a personally curated playlist and new features each and every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Rockets. Now, as we continue our way through our usual 3 points recap, this, the Wednesday evening episode, recapping the 193 win the Rockets had in Game 5 over the Utah Jazz, ending the series with a 4-1 margin in favor of Houston and advancing the Rockets to the second round. This is Locked On Rockets, where we have daily podcast analysis on everything Houston Rockets basketball. And as always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship here in Houston. We spent segment one discussing what was relatively an ugly result. In Game 5 tonight at Toyota Center, the Rockets, James Harden led the way in scoring with 26 points, but started just 1 of 11 from the field, eventually picked it up offensively, finally made a few of those floaters. But the story for James, and really the overall Rockets in this game, their performance, 12 steals, 12 blocks combined as a team. The Rockets, after being out-rebounded by 17 in that Game 4 loss, they were only minus 1 tonight. And overall, the effort, the defense, the rebounding, even though the offensive performance was uneven, it didn't matter because the Rockets made up for it with their effort. And while they'll need better offensive execution to take down the Golden State Warriors, assuming that's who awaits in round 2, defensively, they showed that their hearts are collectively in the right place, and you should be proud of the effort they played with, and their determination paid off in the 100-93 win. We went up and down the roster in terms of the contributions. Really, the starters had to be leaned on heavily for minutes tonight. Daniel House, with 20 minutes off the bench, was the only guy who even got the double-figure minutes off the bench. But really, in a closeout game with so much at stake, the rest considerations, going from now 3 days off, a big perk at least before round two, to maybe only having 1 day off and a day and a half because of the late Friday game to Sunday afternoon on ABC, even if you had won game six, that would have been really, really difficult. So a lot at stake. The Rockets leaned on their starters. They'll need more from the bench against Golden State. But as I said in segment one, it's really tough to compare what you do against Utah to what you do against Golden State. Two completely different matchups, two completely different styles. In this game, 193, in my opinion, you gladly take the win and you worry about Golden State another day. And that's what I'm going to do here on tonight's podcast. We'll have plenty of time in the days ahead to look ahead to Houston, Golden State. I'll offer a few initial thoughts in the third and final segment coming up. But really tonight, I think what should be done is look back on what the Rockets just did, because this is a really good Utah team to win 50 games in the West. And they were 30-11 in the second half of the year, so they were on pace to win 60. No one around the Rockets is going to say that they're satisfied that the job is complete, because when you have James Harden at 29 years old and Chris Paul at 33, both on max deals, everything is about winning a title. And until they do that, no one is satisfied. And I get that. I'm not saying that you should say, wow, they beat the Utah Jazz, so the season's a success. No, in these parts, it's defined by championships. They have work to do. That said, the Rockets did accomplish something tonight that I think we should keep in mind regardless of how the next series goes. I'm not saying I expect them to lose. I'm just saying some perspective going in. What the Rockets did, in my opinion, tonight, by not only beating, but a gentleman's sweep in five games for a second straight year, a very game Utah Jazz squad, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Quinn Snyder, both the players, the coaches, that's a really top-shelf team. And for the Rockets to beat them in five games, I mentioned it reflects the defense, how far they've come this year. But above and beyond that, it shows just how much the Rockets are a cut above even one of the other really good teams in the West. And that's noteworthy because your obvious first priority is to win the title. I hope they do. And we'll talk a lot more about the Rockets and Golden State in the days ahead. But what I think the Rockets have secured tonight is feeling at least pretty good about their foundation going into next season and beyond, regardless of the way the rest of the postseason turns out. And let me explain what I mean by that. I'm certainly not saying that, oh, you know, whether you win or lose against Golden State, it's all good. No, the Rockets are determined to win a championship. That's what they need to do. That said, there are varying degrees. And are you the Houston Rockets, who went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago, won 65 games, and now appear to be a top three team in the league again? Or are you, say, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who just last night lost in round one for a third consecutive year, despite having a roster that on paper was considered comparable to the Rockets going into the past couple of seasons, and at times even better? There are tiers, there are differences, and to me, the juxtaposition of what happened to the Thunder and now the Rockets advancing in just five games, you can't ignore it. Because to me, the Rockets did win 65 games a year ago, and they got to the Western Conference Finals and were a game away from dethroning the Warriors. But it's easy to forget, the Rockets weren't supposed to be that good. They were supposed to be better after getting Chris Paul, but nobody knew that they'd really be a 60-plus win juggernaut. And even when they did, it was fair to wonder, hey, did all the pieces just fit together so perfectly? Perfect storm of chemistry 1 year, and then they lost Ariza and Bamute, which all great teams, there's always going to be some defections in role players because of economics. That's just the way the league works. When they want more teams to be competitive, it's hard to retain your full supporting cast. And some did wonder going into the year if there would be attrition. And to a small extent, there was. The Rockets started off 11-14. And even though they had James Harden and Chris Paul, it was easy to wonder, well, for starters, with Chris, his age, how much he had left. But beyond that, the pieces weren't fitting as well. And perhaps it was a perfect storm. Well, credit first off to Daryl Morey, signing Austin Rivers, Daniel House, Kenneth Faried, those types throughout the year that plugged a lot of holes to overcome the poor start and the wave of injuries. But beyond that, what's important to keep in mind, after that 11-14 start, the Rockets won 42 of their final 57 basketball games. That's nearly three quarters of a season, and they were on a better than 60-win pace. Then in the first round of the playoffs against a 50-win Utah team that themselves went on a 60-win pace for half the season, the Rockets dispatched them in five games. The past two Aprils and Mays, aside from the Warriors, the Rockets have now had three series in the playoffs against the Timberwolves and the Jazz, one against Minnesota, two against Utah, and they've won each of them in five games. None of them has even felt that competitive. And the Timberwolves, I know they were an 8 seed, but keep in mind, that was a 47-win 8 seed, and that was a Minnesota squad that missed Jimmy Butler for 2 months down the stretch of the season. If he never got hurt, they probably win 50 as well. And of course, the Rockets got Minnesota, the version with Jimmy Butler, in the playoffs. So the Rockets, aside from just pushing Golden State, there's been some wondering, well, are they just too optimized for Golden State and not enough for the rest of the league? No, that's three playoff series against non-Golden State teams. They haven't just won. They have won with relative ease. So we'll see what happens when the Rockets play the Warriors. That's the objective. But the Rockets, they proved yet again that even relative to really good other teams in the Western Conference, like the Utah Jazz, they are a cut above. I know they had the slow start to the year, but they won 65 a year ago. They won two series in the playoffs before that epic seven-gamer against the Warriors. Now, aside from the 11-14 blip, and I know there's a hangover effect, they had a few early injuries, also Carmelo Anthony, James Ennis, those didn't really fit. But the final 57 games of the season, and now the first five of the playoffs against a really good team in Utah, I think we can say that's 62 games that the Rockets have been a 60-plus win team again. So they have followed it up. They have proven now, regardless of what happens against Golden State, they did successfully run it back. They are that team again, and now, appropriately, they have their shot against Golden State again, and we'll see if they can do and finish the job that they could not a year ago. But while it looked choppy at times, the 2019 Rockets, they are where the 2018 group was, and so that's 2 years in a row that they have been superior to the rest of the Western Conference. And going forward, that's critical because, of course, the Rockets, they are capped out for the foreseeable future. James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, you're not going to have wiggle room financially. Your first-round draft pick, you don't have it at all this year, and even when you do in future years, that's going to be in the mid to late 20s for the foreseeable future. So you can tinker at the margins, and Daryl Morey's really good at that. He's also always big game hunting via trade. You can never count him out on those fronts. But considering that your flexibility is limited, you want to feel good each year that the group you roll out there should be one of the top three in the league. And at a bare minimum, I think the Rockets, maybe you can throw Toronto in there as well, but they're definitely a top five team. And that's something, I don't know, to celebrate, but it's something definitely to acknowledge. Because with the Thunder loss in Game 5 on Tuesday night, what's striking about that, the Thunder are a team that's comparably all in. Actually, they're paying a lot more for their roster and extensive luxury tax payments than the Rockets are. They've got Russell Westbrook, Paul George signed to massive deals, and yet it's not translating. It's not like they just have a Warriors problem. They're not even winning 50 games. They're struggling in the regular season and in the first round of the playoffs as well. So with the Rockets, we'll see what happens against the Warriors. That's the objective. But if they don't win that series, number one, it probably says more about the Warriors, the most talented team ever assembled, than it does about you. They're just that good. And secondly, at least if you're the Rockets, you'll be able to go into the offseason saying, okay, we know what the standard is. And who knows, maybe even Kevin Durant changes the landscape by leaving Golden State when he suspects that, and then the bar isn't as high. Regardless of that, at least Houston, no matter what happens from this point forward, they feel pretty good about where they stack up relative to most of the league. The $64,000 question is, of course, the Golden State Warriors, and that's still to be determined. I'm not saying the season is a success, because it's not. You've still got to conquer that demon, and that's what we're going to have all of our focus on in the days ahead. But for now, I do think you can take at least some comfort, just 24 hours removed from what happened to the Oklahoma City Thunder, that you are not those guys, because those guys, they are every bit as capped out as the Rockets are, every bit as limited financially, future flexibility, and yet, on top of just having a Warriors problem and wondering if you can ever beat those guys, they have a problem even getting to 50 wins in the regular season or getting past round one of the playoffs. Because whatever's going on, their roster looks good on paper, but it does not translate. The Rockets roster, it looks good on paper. It looks as good as the investment says that it should, looking at the contracts of CP3, James Harden, and Clint Capella, and it is translating. Now, is it enough to beat Golden State? I don't know. That's next on the agenda, and we'll see. And whether the season is a success or failure is largely going to be determined based on that, because around these parts, after you've won the MVP, you've won 65 games, you've won all these playoff series, really all that's left is to win a title. Any of the narratives about playoff Harden, playoff CP3, those are unfounded, and those should have been shaken off a long, long time ago. Those are two splendid players. They play well on the biggest stage. They largely did tonight in the Game 5 closeout. Really, for Houston, whether they can get over the hump against Golden State, that's obviously the question that's going to determine the success of the team. But beyond that, there is at least something to work with that after the final 57 games of the regular season and the first five of the playoffs against a very good Utah Jazz team, that we can stop back and, I don't know if smell the roses, I don't know if that's the appropriate term, because for the Rockets, everything is about the series to come and winning a title. But I think just 24 hours removed from what happened to the Oklahoma City Thunder, we can at least say, hey, this Rockets team is really, really good, and have at least some thankfulness for that. Are they good enough to win a title? I don't know. That's what's going to be determined in the series ahead, largely. And of course, beyond that, if the Rockets are fortunate enough to advance, it's likely to be the Golden State Warriors in round two. But at least for tonight, and I'm trying to keep this mostly about what they accomplished in the 4-1 round one win over the Utah Jazz, we confirm that the Houston Rockets are a really, really good basketball team. They are elite, even though they won just 53 games this year in the regular season. That was just a reflection of the 11-14 start. The final 57 games, the playoffs, they're back in the same form they were a year ago. This is a really good team. And compared to the way we were thinking about it in November, December, even January, kudos to them for making quite a run at this. How good will it be? Stay tuned, because the Warriors likely await in just a few days. Final thoughts as we wrap up this Wednesday evening show here at Locked On Rockets. This is your home for daily podcast commentary on everything Houston Rockets basketball. And as always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. We spent the first couple of segments looking at how the Rockets won Game 5, the 100-93 bloodbath, defensive-oriented. Kudos to the Rockets, really up and down the roster, but led by P.J. Tucker, Clint Capella, really all of the starters, Eric Gordon, Donovan Mitchell, but Chris Paul, James Harden having active hands as well. Houston collectively 12 steals, 12 blocks. Really strong team performance overall when the offensive execution was choppy, but the Rockets, the story of their season has been the turnaround defensively, and that carried over in the win. We talked about that in segment one, and then segment two, we discussed what it means for the Rockets as a team to get through round one, doing what the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that on paper many say is fairly comparable to Houston, and advancing beyond round one for the third consecutive year, and more impressively, doing it in style in just five games against a really quality Utah Jazz team. Won 50 games this year. We're on pace for a 60-win season down the stretch, going 30-11 in the second half of the year. Quinn Snyder has those guys playing really well, so salute to those two guys. Here in segment three, we'll look ahead to the likely showdown with the Warriors. As I'm recording this, the Clippers do have a 5-point lead late in the second quarter of Game 5. For starters, I don't expect that to last. Even if it does, we'll see what happens when you're listening to this podcast. The Warriors still up 3-2, and they're just much more talented. Eventually, whether it's tonight or later, Golden State is going to win that series. And I would love to be wrong. I will eat crow and be one of the happiest guys on the planet if I am. And of course, I'll be laughing at the Warriors for blowing another 3-1 lead. But I find that very, very unlikely. And I'll cross that bridge when we come to it. As far as the final segment of this show, I'll offer just a few initial thoughts. We'll go into it more in depth in the coming days. Got some nice guests coming on to preview the showdown whenever it's official. As far as what the Rockets need to do, I think the biggest key is what we've seen throughout the series, the shooting of Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. I trust Chris Paul and James Harden. Now, I know Chris missed a few too many threes in this series, but he is moving so well, had 8 boards, 3 steals tonight on top of his 15 points, 5 assists. If his 3-pointers aren't falling, that's going to get sorted out. That's not what age typically takes the first effect on. It's how he moves around the floor. Defensively, the way I'm seeing him starting and stopping on a dime, Chris Paul looks healthy. And if that's the case, he should make shots. That's going to be fine. James Harden, his struggles in this series largely had to do with Rudy Gobert. It's an apples and oranges matchup. And for those concerned, as I said in the first segment, when the Rockets played the Jazz in Game 5 a year ago, Harden had just 18 points, 7-22 shooting. He then turned around a few days later, Game 1 against the Warriors, and had 41 on nearly 60% shooting from the field. He was ridiculous. So James Harden has been fine. There's going to be peaks and valleys. I think a lot of this, the Jazz are just a really good defensive team, and they have a unique skill set, especially with Rudy Gobert at 7'2", and as agile as he is, to be able to contest Harden in ways that a lot of other teams especially not the Warriors, who don't have nearly that same interior presence, are able to. So I trust CP3 and James Harden, assuming health. They're going to be fine. And as far as Clint Capella, he needs to be better than he was at times in this series. Certainly the Rockets going from minus 17 in game 4 to minus 1 on the glass in game 5. That's a big part of the story. But a lot of it for Clint has been his illness, the combination of a virus and the respiratory infection that he's been dealing with. As long as he has a few days off, and now thankfully the Rockets won't play again until at least Sunday, I think he's going to be fine. And if you were concerned about that, look at the 16-10 he put up in 36 minutes, big minutes, against Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors in the Game 5 clincher. So I trust those guys. As far as the variables, to me, it's the bench and then Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker. Gordon tonight made 4 of his 8 threes. P.J. Tucker, 2 of 6. But overall, his defense was just so energetic. Even though he missed a few threes, quite frankly, it didn't matter. And of the threes he missed, a lot of them were, I believe, from up top. I think he was 2 of 4 from the corners, and one of the two that he missed went halfway down and popped out. So if he's making those corner threes, and if Eric Gordon is at a 40% plus clip, that's what takes the Rockets from good to great. When their offense was humming in games 1 and 2, those were the two guys, Gordon and Tucker, combined. They shot 50% or better from 3 in both games. So I like that they seem to be hot. They are trending well, and for them, you know, with stars, with guys like Harden, CP3, and even Capella, given that he's going up against Rudy Gobert, some of it is matchup-based because they draw so much attention. With role players like EG and PJ Tucker, that's where, to me, it's less matchup-based because a lot of their shots are just open, and it comes down to, are they making them? Right now, those two appear to be in rhythm. By the way, also credit to PJ Tucker, last minute of the game, when the Rockets were up 1, he missed 2 free throws. A lot of us were having Nick Anderson flashbacks. Then he got fouled again after the Rockets forced another stop and made both of them. So the free throw bugaboo hopefully should not get to him. He also made 3 or 4 free throws to close out game 3. So it's just a little thing, but it shows you his mental toughness to get over it that quickly. So Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, they have to be better. And then off the bench, that's what's been so choppy. Daniel House, Austin Rivers, what happens with those two? House made both of his threes tonight, played 20 minutes. That was a big step forward. He was a minus 9, but really the entire bench, they struggled when James Harden was not in the game. He was a team best plus 19. I tend to think that had more to do with the Jazz defense not focusing on Harden than anything the bench was not doing. I thought House was a lot better tonight, and he needed a game as young as he is for his confidence. Austin Rivers was not, and against Steph Curry, they are going to need his quick twitch ability. I don't know what to say other than he needs to play better. As far as the rest of the bench, to me, that's also going to be interesting because Nene Faried, they tried Faried in this series, talked about his athleticism, vertical spacing. He played just 3 minutes in the first half tonight, got pulled from Nene. Nene actually had 8 points, 4 rebounds, made all 3 of his shots. Statistically, he was good, but he did seem a step slow, and that was compared to the Jazz. Is he playable against the Warriors? I don't know. Perhaps if Bogut's out there, we'll have to see how they match up, but I tend to suspect the Warriors will have a lot of Kevon Looney based on the way these two teams went a year ago. And then the final slot, Gerald Green versus Iman Shumpert. Shumpert basically never got any sort of real rotation run in this series. Gerald played just 7 minutes. He missed both of his threes, and he didn't get a look in the second half. That's what, to me, is going to be intriguing to watch against Golden State. Do they opt for the defensive stability of Shumpert, or do they go for the hot hand of Gerald, hoping that he can win you a game here like he almost did the season finale in Oklahoma City when he made those 5 threes, because his quick release and his ability, even against top-notch defense, a guy can be in his face, and you know how Gerald is. He can put up 4 or 5 threes and make nearly all of them in a hurry against no matter what the defense is. That's just kind of what he provides at this stage of his career. So do you want the offensive upside of Gerald? Do you want more stability from Iman Shumpert? That's what we'll see. But really, as far as what's going to determine the Rockets' success against the Warriors, I think we know how they line up defensively. Andrew Bogut will be a bit of a new wrinkle as far as the last 2 years, but at 36 years old, I wonder if he can really stay on the floor the way that the Rockets guards can penetrate. I expect them on switches to try and take advantage of him. I think we'll see a lot of Kevon Looney, and if that's the case, the matchups will look very similar to last year's Western Conference Finals. And as stated, I feel good about James Harden, Chris Paul. Those two, if they have a bad series, yeah, the Rockets will lose, but at that point, there's nothing you can do other than shrug your shoulders. I feel fine about those two, and they seem to be healthy. That's all you can ask. Clint Capella, he should be better, and of course, he's gotten more playable against the Warriors in their lineup over his career. To me, what's going to determine the series is where the Rockets have the depth. We know the Warriors have their 4 all-stars, and they've got guys like Quinn Cook off the bench, these young players that are stepping up into bigger roles this year. They should have Gasp, Andre Iguodala healthy this year. We'll see what that means. the Rockets at times can be really deep. It's just been this particular series, it's been uneven. So priorities, number one, Daniel House, Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, or Iman Shumpert, can they get right? Fareed or Nene, who's the backup center? And perhaps they don't even have a backup center. They could play more small ball. There's a lot for Mike D'Antoni to go through. The Rockets do understand this matchup very, very well. And then besides that, I think it's just going to come down to, do Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker make their open shots? That's been the theme throughout the year. Really, the big Rocket surge has been since March 1st, when Eric Gordon went from a low 30s percentage shooter to a guy who then shot 40-45+% the rest of the year. And not coincidentally, that's when the Rockets went from good to great. If Gordon and PJ continue their form that we saw in round one, certainly defensively, that's going to be a key. But beyond that, just the way they make their open shots, then that's when the Rockets go from being competitive against Golden State to a team that actually has a chance to winning 4 out of 7. Anyway, I think that'll do it for our show on this Wednesday. We'll have a lot more in-depth analysis of Rockets Warriors in the days ahead. Those are just my initial thoughts. And yes, I hope I am reverse jinxing it, because the Warriors Clippers series is not over as I'm recording this. However, I find that extremely, extremely unlikely. And yes, I will eat crow if somehow it happens. Anyway, this will do it for tonight's show. If you want more content before our next episode, which again, it's not very far away, we're going to have lots of talk previewing round two in the days ahead. If you want more content before then, please come to Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked and Rockets. And if you don't tweet by any chance, then Facebook, facebook.com/LockedAndRockets, email LockedAndRockets@gmail.com, website LockedAndRockets.com. All those ways you can interact. You can ask me questions about the team. You can make suggestions for the show, access our prior content, inquire about how to become a potential sponsor. Anything we can do to help your experience, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. And beyond listening to the podcast, which I thank you so much for doing, please remember you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Rockets and get our most recent episode that way as well. One final time, the happy final from Toyota Center on Wednesday night. Houston 100, Jazz 93. Rockets win the best of 7 series, 4-1, and they now await the round 2 meeting, most likely with the top-seeded Golden State Warriors, who still need to close out their series with the Clippers. I'm recording this, they're down 71-63 late in the second quarter, but whether it be tonight or some other time, ultimately I do think that the Rockets are going to play the Warriors, perhaps the best you can hope for. Maybe the Clippers rally in, or hold on and hold off a Golden State rally and push this to a game 6, which gives the Rockets a bit more of a rest advantage. Houston, thankfully, will not have to play again until Sunday. But again, any help from the Clippers, I'll take that when it comes. For now, I think you should celebrate the Rockets' win. They're through round one for a third consecutive season and largely have their defense, the missing piece for the first 50 or so games of the season. Well, now they found it, and the Rockets are humming again as an NBA juggernaut as a result of that. So again, Rockets 100, Jazz 93. Rockets win the series, and they await the winner of the Warriors-Clippers series in round 2. For now, have a good night, and please come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily discussion of everything Houston Rockets basketball.